I want you to turn with me to Proverbs, the 29th chapter and verse 18. And this being our anniversary service, I felt like it would be just fitting for us to have a little nostalgia here as I preach on vision, to do it out of the King James Version. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we used our first service here because there weren't a whole lot of others around then. Praise God. Proverbs 29:18. Solomon is writing here and he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Notice this, he says, where there is no vision. One translation says, where there's no redemptive revelation. One translation says, where there's no prophetic revelation. So what's he talking about here? He says, where there's no vision, no revelation of Jesus Christ, the people perish. Because you cannot live a victorious life without a revelation of Jesus in your heart. Amen? And every vision that comes from God is to reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ, His plans and purposes in our lives. Amen? And here's why people are perishing. Because they don't know the Lord. They're perishing because He's a religious figure. They're perishing because He's God up in heaven somewhere. They're perishing because He's not become a real living Savior and Lord and King in their personal lives right here. Amen? And so what we've got to do today is this. We need to renew the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. The Bible says where there is no prophetic or redemptive revelation, the people perish. One translation says they cast off restraint. What's that mean? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're apt to do anything. You'll live your life anyway. You'll be tossed to and fro. There's no restraints because you see, vision or revelation puts perimeters in our life. Amen? Whenever I have a revelation of Jesus Christ, it reveals to me the life He wants me to live. When I have a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it gives me do's and don'ts in my life. Amen? Somebody says, oh, you're under the law. No, I'm under grace, but even under grace, you can't walk out and do anything you want to do. Amen? Hallelujah. See, I'm under grace right now in this nation. Praise God. Now, our nation has laws, and there are natural laws and physical laws that go along with all the other laws. But you know what? We can say it like this. You know what? You're preaching bondage, Pastor. Well, okay, let me tell you this. If you go up here, close your eyes, and decide, I don't care how much traffic's on I-64, I'm just going to walk across there, bless God, because I'm free, and I'm not under the law. How many of you know there's somebody out there that'll probably come along with the law and run over you? Amen? And maybe by the mercy of God, you might get to the other side. No, even under grace, there are do's and don'ts. Amen? And so the revelation of Jesus Christ makes those do's not burdensome or the don'ts not burdensome, but it liberates us to know that as I live for the Lord, live in His grace, live in His mercy, live in His plan and purpose for my life, then I'm going to walk in victory. Amen? And it's going to help me to overcome. Because you see, if I have constraints in my life, when the enemy tempts me to sin, I'm not going to go do it. Because I'm going to say, if Jesus doesn't want me to do it, I'm not going to do it. Amen? Are you listening to me? If I'm, the flesh wants you to retaliate and do something mean to somebody because they did something mean to you. But a vision, a revelation, Jesus says, no, I'm not going to do that. The Bible says to return evil with good. The Bible teaches me that I'm to release a blessing so that I can be blessed and not get caught up in fighting in flesh and blood wars. Amen? So God's revelation begins to show me how to live, and it begins to reveal to me the plans and purposes of God. And then notice He says, and happy, not sad, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now let's bring this up into New Testament language. Happy, blessed, successful, prosperous, and victorious, and to be envied are those who practice the Word of God. Amen? Because you see, Jesus is the living Word, but He's given us the written Word so that we can learn how to live for Him. Amen? And you can never know the living Word in fullness until you know His written Word. Amen. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus was teaching the Word to these people. And the Bible says, and there were many that believed on Him. And then He goes along and he looks right to the people that believed on Him and says, now if you continue in My Word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He went on and said, if you continue in My Word, you'll be My disciples. What's that mean? People who learn, practice, and imitate their lives after Me, and the truth that you learn while you practice your life and become a disciple for Me, it will set you free. Hallelujah. Why? Because you'll learn how to live your life the way I would live it if I was doing it. Amen? And so the Lord becomes real to us, praise God. Any church that comes in and doesn't preach a revelation of Jesus Christ, a revelation of redemption from the curse of the law, a revelation of who we are in Christ, a revelation of being citizens in the kingdom of God, a revelation of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, a revelation of being doers of the word, and a revelation that from Genesis to Revelation, every word is for you today, that is not a true vision from God. Amen. And you see, I want to just build this in to past, present, future. Hallelujah. And when the Lord spoke to me to come here 34 years ago, actually it was a little over that, because in November of 1984, we came in here and started the church on this exact Sunday, July 21st, 1985. It's the same actually date. This year, calendar year, is exactly like it was in 1985. And so the Lord spoke to me, though, in November, and he told me about coming back to Cabell County, West Virginia, and establishing a Word of Faith church that would preach the gospel and liberate people from bondage and show them who they were in Christ and how to live the victorious life in Christ. And he said, I want you to go back and reach Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, and the world. And that's where we came up with that, praise God. And you see, the vision, the revelation of God doesn't change. How many of you know that? Amen. And so he is talking to us here. Solomon is giving us great things in the Old Testament. And in this Old Testament time, he's saying to you and me, he's saying, you need to have a vision, a revelation of living your life for Jesus Christ. And you build that revelation into your life by getting in the Word of God and keeping that Word and letting that Word govern you and teach you and guide you until that Word becomes the truth. How many of you know sickness will rule in your life until the truth of by His stripes you were healed comes into your heart? And you found out this, that the Bible says in Ephesians 5 that God washes us and cleanses us and purges us, the church, with the washing of the water of the Word. In John 15:3, Jesus said, now are you clean through the Word that I've spoken unto you? Meaning what? When the Word of God becomes a spoken truth to us, that Word washes us and cleanses us from everything that's holding us in bondage. Hallelujah. So when you come and hear the truth and the revelation that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord and act upon that, you know what happens? At that moment in time, you receive the Word washing you and cleansing you from your sin, and you become a child of God. Hallelujah. And what happens is, when you come in and hear the revelation of Jesus, your healer, as you hear that truth and receive that truth becomes more real to you than the truth of sickness. See, sickness is a truth. But it's not the truth. Did you hear me? Poverty is a truth, but not the truth. Hurt feelings and oppression is a truth, but it's not the truth. Amen? What is the truth? The truth is the Word of God. Hallelujah. And the truth is that Jesus Christ came to redeem us from all the curse of the law, not just part of it. And the truth of the Lord will come in and set me free from a truth of the world. Hallelujah. And when my vision, my revelation lines up with the truth of God's Word, guess what? I begin to walk in victory. Hallelujah. And then what happens is this, as I receive that revelation and act on that revelation and keep that Word in my heart, then I become happy and blessed. Hallelujah. Somebody says, how can you, after 34 years, still be happy and blessed? I've been practicing what I preach. Hallelujah. Amen. I do this stuff. I wouldn't preach this to you if I didn't do it myself. I have never preached a message. And I was licensed with the Southern Baptist Church on April the 6th, 1976. That's a few years ago, isn't it? I started pastoring full time the 1st August of 1978. The first Sunday of August in 1978. And so therefore, I'm closing down on a few years, 41 years of pastoring, amen? And I've never preached a message to people that I wasn't practicing in my own life myself. Why? Because that would be a hypocrite. The Pharisees, Jesus said, do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they tell you. Amen? And so we have to be a practicer, a doer of this Word, praise God. And so when we come to church, we should be getting a revelation of who we are in Christ. When we come to church, we should be getting a revelation of God's plan and purpose for our lives. When we come to church, we should be hearing the Word by, because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so therefore, I need to hear that truth, receive that truth, and begin to act upon it. How many of you found out that the enemy is out there to steal vision from you? Anybody besides me had to fight off the devil? Huh? Come on, he's a thief, and he'll come to try to steal the revelation of God's word out of your life. In fact, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was teaching there in verse 14. He started teaching down through there, and he said, the sower sows the word. And he says, these are the ones that are sown by the wayside who hear the word, immediately receive it and rejoice in it, but have no root in themselves. And the devil comes immediately and steals the word out of their heart. Comes to steal, and he uses tests and trials. He uses hardships. He uses disappointments. He uses cares and worries and frustration, fears, and not happening overnight, and lies. And he comes to tell you it's not worth it. And a lot of people, they let it go, and they don't produce anything. But he gets down to verse 20, and he says, listen, he says, if you'll do this, if you'll not let the worries of this world and disappointments and other people and tests and trials and things not going your way all the time, if you'll not let those be the major part of your life, but you'll stay with the word and hear the word and receive the word and then choose to act on that word, he said, you'll become good ground, and God will produce his fruit in your life, and you'll produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, and God will change your life. Hallelujah. Come on, church, that's what vision does. It changes your life. And notice in Mark chapter 4:20, Jesus said, you'll produce some 30, some 60, and some 100. Most people don't start off with 100. Amen. If you did, hallelujah. Next Sunday you preach. Praise God. But this, our growing in revelation, our growing in the things of God is a progressive thing. It's a continual growth. We start off with salvation, and then we learn to walk in the Word. Then we learn how to pray. We learn how to worship. We get filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit then accelerates that. And we begin to come more and more into the line and purposes of God. And all the time you're growing and staying hold of the vision, the revelation of Jesus is your Lord, and you're coming, there's going to be obstacles to overcome. There are going to be mountains to move. There are going to be things that are going to try to stop you from fulfilling it. But what does he say here? Happy is he who keeps the word. What's that mean? I'm going to keep this word. You're not getting it from me. Amen? I'm not going to let it be stolen from me. I'm going to keep this word. Why? Because this word is going to set me free. This word is going to heal me. This word is going to deliver me. This word is going to help me to be prosperous in life. This word is going to help me to know how to handle things whenever they come my way. And if I keep this word and don't let the thief, the devil, steal it from me, I'm going to be happy and blessed and successful in my walk with God. Amen? And so the Lord begins to speak to us. Now, notice something about vision. Let's bring vision into our church. He says this, where there's no vision, the people perish. You know, vision is all about people. It's about people. Vision is not about the visionary. The vision is for people. This church was not raised up for me. It was raised up for this community, for the people here. This message is for us and to receive, and it's for the people to grasp this and walk in this and know this. See, we've got to understand that the reason we have a church is so that people can find out who they are in Christ, connect with that revelation, and live their lives a holy life and a victorious life for the Lord Jesus. And it's a vision for people. Notice he said, where there is no vision, the person perishes. The people, plural. In other words, the multitudes. This vision and this plan and this word is for all people. And a church is made up of people who are connecting with the vision, the revelation of God, and doing what God asks us to do, and living in the light of that revelation. Amen? Now, let's go over here to Habakkuk real quick. Habakkuk, because we're staying in the Old Testament today. Is that all right? Look what he says. Well, not totally. I just quoted you from Mark. But anyway, Habakkuk chapter 2. I want you to see something here in verse 1. Here the prophet is he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the high tower, and I will watch to see what I will say, what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I'm reproved or questioned. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm going to my prayer tower, because right now somebody comes up and asks me what we're doing, I don't have an answer for him. Because you see, vision doesn't originate with the pastor. Vision doesn't originate with the visionary. Vision has to come from God. Amen? We need to know what God wants to do. We need to know what the Lord Jesus, he's the head of the church. We need to know what his plan is. Amen? And so the prophet, he goes before God and he says, Lord, people are going to come and question me. In fact, some of them are going to reprove me. They're going to be against me. And some of them are going to come up and challenge me. And some of them are come up and say, this is not God. And whenever I hear all these things coming at me, I need an answer. And I don't need just a mental answer. I don't need just an emotional answer. I need a God answer. Hallelujah. In other words, Lord, what is your plan? What is your purpose? What is your will in this situation? And you know what's so great about God? If you'll seek Him for a plan for your life, He'll give you one. Amen. If you ask the Lord in every situation you're in, what's your will for this, Lord? He'll give you that. He'll answer you, and He'll show you, praise God. Let me show you. Let's read on. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me, and He said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it shall speak, and it shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, what's he saying? Verse 2, he says, the Lord answered. In other words, this is the Lord's vision. He says, write the vision, write the purpose, write the plan that I'm giving you, and make it plain upon tables. Why? That he may run that reads it. Notice again that the vision presents God's to God's people, his plan for their lives. And notice what the vision is again. It's for people. Yeah. Amen? This vision is for you. It's been my joy and my privilege for 34 years to preach to this city. I want to tell you what, I came here preaching prosperity when they were lined up down at the Civic Center collecting, help from the government because there wasn't any jobs here. I preached prosperity. You know what they did? But my critics came out and said, he's in a prosperity cult. Yeah. You know what my response was? I said, well, if I'm going to be in a cult, at least it's going to be a successful one. Hallelujah. Prosperity. Hallelujah. And you know what I did? Right in the face of them, I just kept preaching that God wants you to be successful. God wants to prosper you. And if you'll sow, God will give you a harvest. And you can put your trust in Him. And we started seeing lives changed. Hallelujah. We came in here and preached that you could be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with a heavenly language and worship God and be empowered by the Holy Ghost. And He said, he's one of them holy roller radicals down there. I thought, well, come on down and roll with us. Hallelujah. At least you called us holy rollers. Hallelujah. Amen. At least we're holy in what we're doing. And we preached on healings, and people just would question it. You know, I just don't believe God heals all the time. And I said, well, you don't know the God that I know. And I said, sure, I don't know why everybody doesn't just always get a healing. At the same time, I don't know why everybody doesn't just go ahead and get saved. To say God's not willing to heal everybody, to say he's not willing to save everybody, because not everybody's saved, are they? Doesn't change a word that Jesus died for everybody, does it? Doesn't change the word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, does it? Well, if it doesn't change when it comes to salvation, then it doesn't change when it comes to healing, it comes to deliverance, it comes to prosperity or anything else. Amen? And you see, the reason we have placed this before you and placed the vision before you is because we want you to read it. We want you to grab it. We want you to understand it. Why? Because it's your faith that's going to make it come to pass. Amen. The vision is for you. Hallelujah. And the vision is appointed by God. The vision is there to bring forth God's plan and purpose. And any church that doesn't have a vision to reach the entire region and every person in that region and reach every group of people in that region, hallelujah, and not do anything that looks like there's a least little bit of partiality in it. But it's a total, I was telling somebody this week, I said, you know what? I've worked for 34 years to make this church a no judgment zone. Where every person can come in here, no matter what you've been through, what you've gone through, what's going on in your life, you could come in here and know that God loves you and God has an answer for your life and you can be set free and we'll love you right into victory. Hallelujah. Come on. And that's what this church is all about. And that's what we're going to continue to be all about. Praise God. Hallelujah. You've got to understand that God's vision is an ongoing vision. He says the vision is yet for an appointed time. Amen. What's that mean? That means that it's going to come to pass, but it might not all happen at once. I know, we got power fluctuations. If y'all seen that, they're not putting on a light show for me. Amen? Hallelujah. So just concentrate on the voice and not the lights. Hallelujah, and you'll be all right. Amen. Hallelujah. Like I said, God's vision is for everybody. Notice he says that the people may read it and the people may run with it. Hallelujah. And notice he says, and the just shall live by his faith. You know, nothing happens if people don't get involved and put their faith in it. We came out here and purchased 70 acres of land. We had a lady come up to us when we were at the Huntington Civic Center. And she said, we said, if anybody knows of any land or building or anything, let us know. We'll pursue it. And so this lady came up. And she said, you know, I saw that the bank has 70 acres out off the interstate. You might want to look into it. And so Dave Mears and I got together and started looking into it, praise God. We came out here and walked, and this place looked awful. It was just swamp and trees and a bunch of junk. But we walked this place, and we walked around, and you know what? We believed it was God, and we went back to the people that were there at the time, and we shared it with them. And you know what we did? Everybody hooked up with that vision. We all used our faith, and we moved out here. And we came out here and we started cleaning this place off and doing a lot of different work. And we began, you know, this building right here is sitting on about probably 14 or 15 foot higher than it was when we first moved out here, because we took stuff off the mountain and had to level everything off down here and build this in here, praise God. And then we used our faith and we built this first facility. And, you know, people grabbed a hold of that vision and they ran with it and they did it. And you know why they wanted to have a facility? Because people were coming in here being saved and they were being filled with the Holy Spirit and they were taught who they are in Christ and their lives were beginning to change. And they wanted their children to be raised up in that. And they wanted their youth to be raised up in that. And they wanted to grow in Christ Jesus and they wanted to know how to be overcomers in this life. And that's what the vision is about, folks, is bringing the truth of God's word so people's lives can be changed, so you can run with a vision, so you can have what the devil said you can't have. We've had multitudes of people come in here, and the devil said, you'll never have children, but we prayed for them, and they got children. Hallelujah. We've come in here, and people, they've been told, you're not going to live, but we prayed for them, and they're still alive today, praising God. We've come in here and marriages and families have been broken, but they've been healed and made whole. Why? Because the vision is for the people. And you have to come and grab it and use your faith for it, praise God. Nothing just happens. And that vision is ongoing. It's got an appointed time. When's the appointed time? When the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back. That's whenever it's going to be finished. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And God sent us here to establish this church that would be, you know, instead of calling it Word of Faith, that's an old term now. I'd rather go with 2 Corinthians 4 and call it the Spirit of Faith. Hallelujah. Because we're a spirit of faith church. What's that mean? We have the Spirit and the Word working together, producing the faith life of God in us. And we have a, it's not a religious faith. It's not a legalistic faith. It's a spiritual, moved by the Holy Ghost, moved with the revelation, the will of God, a faith that changes lives. Amen? And that's what this is all about. That's what you're all about. That's what you're a part of, praise God. And that's what you're connecting with. And that's what God wants to do in your life. And all that have been here for a long time, you've helped lay the foundation. Others that have come in since then, and you know, the middle times, and you've joined in, and now the young ones that are coming in now, praise God. You see, the vision is an ongoing vision, praise God. If we don't reach this next generation of teenagers and 20s and 30s and 40-year-olds, praise God, then we have failed to do what God called this church to do. And as we get older, praise God, and the elders in the church, elder women, elder men, you know, you become mentors and you become intercessors and you stay active and involved and keeping the vision flowing, praise God. Why? Because with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. That, praise God, all your life, God wants to show himself mighty and strong in your life. Amen? Somebody says, what are you going to do when you get old, Pastor? I'm never getting old. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just maturing in life. Praise God. I want you to look over here to Nehemiah. Let's go over here real quickly. I want you to see something here in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, you know, the first chapter, he hears of Jerusalem being destroyed. Nehemiah hears of all the reproach that's in the city. And you know, it's sad because in Proverbs 29:2, we were just there a few minutes ago in verse 18, but Proverbs 29:2 says that when the wicked are in control, the city mourns. But when the righteous are in authority, the city rejoices. When sin runs an area, it destroys it. You understand that? When religion runs an area, it destroys it. But when truth and God's anointing and God's Spirit begins to come into that place, it begins to change things. Hallelujah. And you know, I believe this, that God sent me here with a vision, just like He did Nehemiah, because God placed this place on my heart. You've got to understand something. New Life Church didn't start out of a split, out of disgruntled people or anything else. It started because I was praying one day and God told me to come back here and do it. And you want to know how I know it was God that told me to come back here and do it? It's because when I went to my wife and told her we were coming back here and going to do this, she said, "Ain't no way possible in this lifetime am I going to go there." Hallelujah. So it wasn't anybody calling us, hallelujah, to come here. In fact, when we let it be known that we were coming back, I got a phone call from a friend of mine, Pastor Judy Irwin. She's gone to be with the Lord now, but we had great fellowship in the early days. And she said, "Pastor Darrell, I hear you coming to Huntington." I said, "Yes, I am." She goes, "Well, there's a group that's trying to keep you out, and they called me, wanted to know if I would join them." And I said, "What'd you say?" She said, "I told them that they're foolish, because if Brother Huffman says that God told him to come to Huntington, God told him to come to Huntington. If you're fighting him, you're fighting God. So I'm on his side." She said, "So when you get back here, let's fellowship." I said, "You got it. Hallelujah." And God blessed their church, and He blessed us. But God spoke to us to come. And we moved in here, praise God. And you know, we held that first service on July 21st in 1985. And what we did that first service, we presented vision to people. We presented what God was calling us to do. And we just told people, if you want to be a part of it, here's what it is. And we came back here not because we didn't think anybody else was doing anything, but we came back here with a plan and a purpose for what God wanted us to do. We've never fought another church. We've never tried to hurt another church. We've never tried to rob and plunder another church. We came back here and we opened our doors and said, whoever's hungry and thirsty and wants to grow in the Lord and wants to know who they are in Christ, who wants to have a better life, we're here to teach you the Word and show you a revelation of Jesus that you can walk in victory. And that's what this church will continue to do. And that's what you're a part of. And Nehemiah went back and, you know, you read the first three chapters that Nehemiah, you know, he got the king's permission and provision. And he went back and he went around first, just looked around. That's what we did. When we came back, you know, I met a couple people and we went over and then we had some that heard was here and they came by the house. We had a prayer meeting, praise God. I got a person to play the piano so that first service we could have some praise. I led the praise. I set up my little PV six-channel board with speakers in the front, and we started. And we invited anybody who wants to come. You're welcome. I love Brother Paul Farley, Pastor Farley from Jefferson Avenue, great church. When they were fussing and fighting, Brother Farley stepped in. And he said this, he said, "You know, some of you people are fussing because we had a few folks come in that were stragglers and they'd gone to other churches but weren't faithful. So they came, got filled with the Holy Ghost and started joining in with us." And Brother Farley got with some of them that was fussing about it and said, "Listen," he said, "I had a couple. They came to our church for about 3 years, never was faithful, couldn't get them to do anything. And said, I saw them on the street the other day. They're both saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, engaged and going to get married. And serve him with Pastor Hoffman." I thought, dear God, more power to him. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, "I thought if he got them saved and filled the Holy Ghost and getting married," he says, "God's on his side." Hallelujah. So y'all just need to be quiet. Amen. You know, Brother Farley's church grew and prospered because that's who he was. And we celebrate those things. And we celebrate being a part of the kingdom of God here. Amen. Preaching the truth. Doing what the Lord says. But here in Nehemiah, he gives us some real truths in the fourth chapter. Third chapter, there was a group came to him and their hearts were knit and said, "We want to help you do this." And then you get over here in the fourth chapter in verse 6, and we'll pick it up here. He says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Notice the people built the vision. I'm here to tell you, folks, I didn't build this building. I didn't buy this property. I didn't put the gym up there. Oh, I helped orchestrate it, but the people did it. This city has changed because of the people that came here. People going out and standing and preaching and proclaiming and declaring and letting people see God working in their lives. Being excited about being a part of the vision of God. We built this place because people had a mind to work. And you know what? We'll continue to build if we'll, as a people, have a mind to work. What does that mean? Be involved, committed, doing the things that God would have us to do. Hallelujah. You know, in the chapter before, it says that Sanballat and Tobiah came along. You know, you're always going to have people trying to stop the move of God. Always going to be critics. Always, you know, you have to make up your mind who you're going to listen to. You're going to listen to the vision of God, or you're going to listen to the critics of the vision of God. And so whenever they came and said, you know, you're not going, and then they said, well, we'll just come and attack. You know what Nehemiah did? He said, now, we don't have a lot of us here, and we got a lot of work to do. So we're going to split up in groups, and each one of you is going to have a trumpet. And if you get attacked in your area, just blow the trumpet, and we're all going to come over and help you fight. So you won't have to fight alone. You know there's great principle in there. You know what he's saying? He's saying when you join this church and you become a part of this work, you don't fight your battles on your own. Sound the trumpet and we're going to come as a group and we're going to stand together and we're going to help you get through that battle. Amen? Because we're one in this thing together. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why you need to be a part of this because you know, we're all going to have little battles. We're all going to have things, you know. And so as they were growing and building the walls and building the city, when the enemy would try to come in, they'd blow that trumpet and here came everybody. Because they said, you mess with one, you mess with us all. Folks, that should be the unity of the body of Christ today. We should be working with each other and helping each other. Amen? And working together, having a mind to work and do the things that God has called us to do. Now, listen to what he says in verses 7 and 8. He says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, that they were very wrong. They were upset. Boy, I tell you what, we've upset a lot of people over the 34 years I've been here. Amen. Religious and non-religious alike. And they conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. See, the enemy's always going to try to hinder a work of God. Look what he says in verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. You know what you do? You don't let the enemy talk you out of living for God and doing what God's called you to do. You join together and pray. And you set yourself in faith and you say, God, you're bigger than the attacks that I'm going through. And you keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen? Why? Because I'm a part of a vision. I'm a part of the plan of God. I'm a part of the purpose of God. I've got a part in this. I'm building this city. I'm building this thing. I'm helping. I'm using my gifts, my talents, abilities. I'm a part of God's plan. I don't know about you, but I want to see Huntington and the tri-state even more free. Folks, I want to tell you, when I came here, the Pullman Square was a parking lot. All those stores down 3rd and 4th Avenue were empty. You know why they let us in the Civic Center? They were about to go bankrupt, and any money was better than no money. And they loved us, hallelujah. Because I pay my bills every month, praise God. And we came here, and we presented the truth, and you know what? We began to see the city change, and we began to see other churches grab a hold of that truth, and we began to see other ministries rising up, and we began to see the church beginning to get a vision that we can be the influencers in the city. And we watched God move, and we've been a part of that. We weren't all of that, but we've been a part of that. And we're going to continue to be a part of that, amen? Because now you're the people that's going to build the walls. You're the people that are going to reach other people. And you're the people that are going to invite folks in. You're the people that are going to hear what God wants to do in your life and walk that out and live that out and let God work His plans and purposes in your life. And you're the ones that are going to be overcomers. And you're the ones that are going to experience the glories of God. Because you see, we're going to the next generation. Hallelujah. And taking this gospel out. Somebody says, why are we supposed to do this? Well, let's read down here in verse 14. And I looked and rose up and I said unto the peoples and to the rulers and to the rest of the people. In other words, this is from the pastoral staff to the elders, to the different ministries and the health ministries and all the people in the church. Be not afraid of them. Now, here's why we have to keep this church strong We have to keep this vision going. Look what he says. He says, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, for your sons, and for your daughters, and for your wives, and for your houses. That's why we're here. There's a war going on for our homes and our families and our children and our communities. And folks, we have to stand strong today like never before and walk in the revelation of Jesus Christ and keep God's word and be influencers of the kingdom of God. And we need a strong church, a praying church, a celebrating church, a committed church, a church hooked up together, supporting one another, and a church that's not inward looking, but a church that's outward looking, that we are here to evangelize and change this place for Jesus Christ and help people come into victory out of defeat. Amen. My son and my daughter and my children and my grandchildren and my family and my wife and my home and my friends are worth fighting for. Hallelujah. And that's why you're here. And that's what this church is about. And that's what this vision is. Hallelujah. It's to bring forth the gospel of Jesus Christ to set captives free and release the power of God into our community. And declare his lordship. Amen? Amen.